Please be seated. I'm grateful for your prayers through this week as the Lord, I believe, brought a great sense of healing so that I'm able to speak a little bit more confidently this Lord's Day than I was last Lord's Day evening. Now, as we turn our attention again to this 128th Psalm, We need to again grasp the scene that this psalm paints for us historically. Here we find the people of God, those who fear the Lord and walk in His ways, happily making their way to Jerusalem, making their way to Zion, to the temple, to the presence of the Lord. And it's hard for us to understand this picture because what we have is a multitude of individual families making their way many miles together, coming together in Jerusalem. And so you have this whole horde of people. And you know, maybe if you think of people coming to an athletic contest or to a concert where there could be 30 to 40 to 50,000 people, and you think of that number of people coming together to one place. That's the historic picture that we have here. We come in our cars or our SUVs or whatever it is, and we don't have that sense of coming together, rubbing shoulders as the people would here. Now they're coming, and they've sung from Psalms 120 through Psalm 128 and the fourth stanza. And now we're going to look this morning at the fifth and sixth stanzas or verses, particularly of Psalm 128. So if you haven't already turned in your Bible to Psalm 128, please do that. And if you're using the Bible in the pew, you'll find that our psalm again is on page 968 there at the bottom. Psalm 128. Listen as I read these six verses of this 128th Psalm. Hear now the word of God. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. And may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Let's pray. Father, we do again look to you, crying out that you would be pleased to continue to write these your words upon our hearts. We thank you that we may not only read them and meditate upon them, but we also may sing them, that your spirit would be pleased to enable us to remember and to find application day by day in our lives as your spirit brings them to our remembrance for Jesus' sake. Amen. We see here in verses 5 and 6 a prayer for blessedness, and therefore we ought to be praying for the benediction of the Lord to be enjoyed by each other so that together we witness goodness in the city and faithfulness in the family, that there may be peace in the land. The psalmist moves us from Zion to Jerusalem to Israel, from the church to the city, the community, and on to the nation. So in this prayer that the people of God are singing to the Lord as they come into His presence, the first thing that we need to recognize is who is petitioned? Who is petitioned? And the answer is simply Yahweh. And we recognize that the words, the Lord, are a translation of the Hebrew letters, which when sounded out, simply are Yahweh, the Lord. This is the God who revealed himself for the very first time by this name, you'll remember, to Moses there at the burning bush that was not consumed. He said, I will be your God, and you will be my people. This is that covenant name of God. And it reminds us, therefore, that our salvation is rooted and grounded in his grace alone. As he is the one who condescends to come to us while we're in our transgressions and sin. He comes to us in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ lives that life of perfection. And Jesus Christ goes then to the cross that he might bear the wrath that we deserve for our sins. And the Holy Spirit comes and he applies to us that salvation that Jesus secured for us on the cross, so that our hearts and our lives will be enlivened by him. And we will indeed repent of our sins and lay hold of Jesus Christ by his grace through faith. And we notice that Yahweh is in Zion. That's the place that he chose to make his name known in the midst of his people. There is his presence. Now we understand that today we don't make an annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem like the people of God did in the old administration of the covenant at least 3 times a year. No, we understand since Jesus came and spoke those words to that Samaritan woman at the well, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. No longer must we go to a central location as they did in the old covenant, but now wherever 2 or 3 are gathered together in the name of Christ, there he is in their presence. But we understand that though we don't go to a central location as our ancestors did, we nevertheless, as the writer in the book of Hebrews says, don't forsake our assembling together, as some are in the habit of doing, but Lord's Day after Lord's Day after Lord's Day, we look forward to coming together as the people of God, praying to God. This morning, as you prepare to come here to worship, did you take time to say, Lord, I'm looking forward to drawing together before your presence with your people to worship you. Please hear me. Hear us as we come. That sense of anticipation as we cry out to God for him to be with us as we draw near to him in worship. Did you pray that for yourself as you began to come this morning? Did you pray that for everyone else who would be sitting beside you as you came this morning? The church visible is that place where the Lord is pleased to meet with his people as we draw near to him. Then these 2 verses go on and tell us what is petition. And he tells us there are 3 petitions that the people of God ought to be making as they anticipate gathering with the children of God. The first is a benediction. We petition Yahweh for a benediction. May Yahweh bless you from Zion all the days of your life. And this word that is translated bless, as I said last Lord's Day, is the Hebrew word barak. And as the Hebrew would have heard that word in this psalm, no doubt their mind would have gone back to Numbers chapter 6 and verses 24, 25, and 26. That Aaronic blessing, that blessing that often I repeat at the end of our worship service. Just as we enjoy the face of our loved one, to look endearingly upon us, so we delight to have the face of the Lord looking graciously upon us, being kind to us, and blessing us. That's the benediction that the people of God anticipated enjoying as they gather together there in the temple in the presence of the Lord. But not only did they anticipate it individually, but as they made their way to that worship of the Lord, they prayed that for everyone else. May those who will be sitting beside me enjoy God's benediction as I enjoy God's benediction. May they enjoy the favor of the Lord as I enjoy the favor of the Lord. So there's a communal nature in our sense of coming together to worship. We pray that as we bless God individually, that together we would bless Him. And that as God is pleased to bless us individually, that He's pouring that same blessing upon those sitting in front, beside, behind me as I gather for worship. And we understand that it's each Lord's Day that God is pleased to pronounce His blessing, His benediction upon His people at the close of our service of worship. And so it shouldn't surprise us that ordinarily salvation is rendered to the people of God through the visible church. That's the ordinary means that God uses to call people unto Himself and to dispense His blessing upon them as they gather. We pray that for each other as we come to worship. The second petition, goodness, goodness, may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. And again, as we saw last Lord's Day, this word that's translated prosperity is that Hebrew word tov. And it's that word tov that punctuates Genesis chapter 1. After each of the 6 days, God says, it is tov. It is good. And after the 6th day, what does He say? It is very tov. But to help us understand why this word tov carries with it the sense of prosperity, I take your mind to Joseph there in Egypt when Pharaoh asked the interpretation of his dream. And Joseph says, the 7 tov cattle and the 7 ugly cattle, the 7 tov ears of grain, and the 7 withered ears of grain, what do they represent? Well, those 7 years of tov are the 7 years of prosperity. The 7 years of God's fruitful blessing upon Egypt, so that there would be a storehouse of food when those 7 ugly years of famine came. Do we pray that this goodness of God would be visited upon Patterson Township, Patterson Heights, White Township, Beaver Falls, Beaver, Monaca, Rochester, Center Township, the whole of Beaver County? May Yahweh Tov Jerusalem. As we gather together, praying this prayer one for another, are we not asking the Lord to be pleased to mend us, shape us, fashion us, fit us together in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Mend us, if you please, so that we are fit to go out to serve in the community where God has placed us, in the goodness that we enjoy in Christ Jesus, His goodness to us, our goodness to Him, His goodness to us expressed to each other expressing His goodness back to us. And now we take that into the communities where we live. We struggle with race relationships and tension among the races. Why? Because we forget that we've all been made in the image of God, and there is but one race, the human race, and it's not divided into ethnic groups, one against another. But God made us, and He speaks of us all having one Father, our Creator. But more than that, He pours forth His Spirit so that He might unite us together in Christ Jesus as one people. And we go out into the community with that love of Christ, and we minister that love to those about us, black, white, yellow, green, it doesn't matter. We want to see them enjoy the Tov of God in the community in which we live together. Are we faithful in taking the gospel to those with whom we rub shoulders in our community? We pray for its prosperity. The third petition, faithfulness. Faithfulness. May you see your children's children. This is a family matter, right? We've gone from Yahweh as He's known in the visible church to the city enjoying goodness from Yahweh. Now to the family where faithfulness is the core blessing. Seeing one's children's children means there's peace and there's health being experienced. Because what are the two main ways that we aren't able to see our children's children? If there's not peace but war. There are men or there are women who go off to battle. And what have they left behind? A wife or a husband and children. And what happens if they're killed out there doing battle? They won't see their children's children. Or health matters. If we don't care for the temple that God has given us, we might die, we would say, a premature death. And at 45, drop dead of a heart attack and leave behind a wife and three children. Or children. Children. And I'm thinking of couples whom God is pleased to reward with a child, and yet that couple, out of selfishness, abort the baby so that they won't see their children's children. But God comes to that couple And God convicts that couple of the sin of murder. And that couple cries out to God, repenting of the sin. And God, in His grace, puts His arms around them and forgives them and enables them to enjoy fellowship with Him and a new sense of fellowship with each other. And God may be pleased to open the womb of that mother, that woman, even though they aborted a child. But if God doesn't open the womb, then physically speaking, they will not enjoy this petition, faithfulness, physically in their family. But does that mean that this psalm is only talking about physical faithfulness? My favorite picture that I keep in my office is of my grandmother when she was 100 years old, and my father when he was 75 years old, and me when I was 50 years old, and my son Benjamin when he was 25 years old. You get the, and his newborn daughter. 5 generations of faithfulness. But that's physically speaking. I think every one of us is in Christ. But the psalm is also talking about spiritual faithfulness through families. And here we're thinking about parents who aren't able to have biological children, either being foster parents or adoptive parents, and in that sense, enjoying the physical blessing that is promised in this psalm. But I'm also thinking about those parents that God says, no, I'm not going to open your womb. And I'm also thinking about each one of you who's not married. Because if you're not married, you can't enjoy the physical blessing of this promise. But you can enjoy seeing faithfulness from yourself to one whom God would use you to share the gospel with. And in God's providence, that one shares the gospel with someone else. And what have you seen? You've seen your child have a child. Your children's children. Well, in the bulletin this morning, in God's providence, there are 2 tracks. Why should I become a Christian? How can I become a Christian? And you're encouraged to take those tracks. And as God is pleased to bring people into your life, you might hand one or both of those tracks to someone and pray that God would use that in that person's life. And as you follow up with that person and they begin to talk to you about, you know, I think I should become a Christian. Or, you know, I really would like to become a Christian. And you have that opportunity to see them turn and repent of their sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as Paul would talk about Timothy, his child in the faith, and talk about Titus and talk about others. How many grandchildren do you think Paul had? Because you see, when the gospel is shared this way, there's that multiplying impact. There's that growth that comes. And understand, it says, we who are the church visible, take that message of the good news of Christ wherever God is pleased to open up avenues for us to speak about the King. That He draws people to Himself. And you know, we struggle. What's God's purpose for me in this life? Well, He has vocations for us. Things that we will do with our hands and our minds that God is pleased to bless so that we have food on the table and roofs over our head and transportation and the like. But we know that God left His church. That command to disciple the nations. By rubbing shoulders with the people with whom you come into contact through the week, going, make disciples. And you know, when God in His providence brings you in contact with someone who embraces Jesus Christ as He's pleased to use you, or someone talks about how they've come to embrace Jesus Christ, is there any happier moment in your life than that? As you join with the angels in heaven rejoicing over one sinner who repents and believes. You know, if we scratch our heads and say, I wonder what I'm doing good for God. If we're out there sharing Christ, we'll have our hands full of delighting. And then we'll begin to see children's children at the Church of Christ prospering. The family, individual families, but the family of God reproducing according to our kind, as we are in Christ. You see, we pray for the benediction of the Lord in the church visible. We pray for the tov, the prosperity of the Lord in the city, the community. We pray for faithfulness in the family, that we would see children's children walking in Christ Jesus. Those three petitions ought to be at our heart and on our lips, Lord's Day after Lord's Day after Lord's Day after Lord's Day, as we come together to sit here and worship. And as those three petitions are enjoyed as God, Yahweh, is pleased to answer, what do we find? We find the pronouncement. The petition realized. Peace. Peace on Israel. From the visible church to the city to the family to the nation. We pray this, and we anticipate this response, this pronouncement, this realization that comes from Yahweh, whom we petition. And we understand, of course, when we talk about peace, there is that sense of there not being war. But brothers and sisters, the peace that comes from God is a peace that we enjoy even in the midst of war. The word peace is richer than simply being without strife. It's far more than the absence of war. Shalom. As Dr. Fatata puts it in his commentary on this psalm, is well-being, success, good fortune. The hope and prayer of the ancient was for well-being for the individual, the family, the city, the nation. Is that what we anticipate and experience each Lord's Day as we move toward the corporate worship of God. Is that what we enjoy day by day in our lives? For those of us who are united to Jesus by grace through faith unto our salvation, we do enjoy such peace. Though we don't enjoy it as richly as we will in the eschaton. In the last day, when Jesus will come again and establish the new heavens and the new earth. Are you ready for that day? Are you praying that all within your family are ready for that day? Are you praying that those who are in your community are ready for that day? Are you praying for those nations of which you are a part, that they will be ready for that day? Are you praying that the nations of this world will, as by the grace of God, do as we have done, kiss the Son, His wrath to turn, so that we no longer break His cords, break His fetters, break His chains. But we delight to walk in His ways, fearing Him appropriately day in and day out. Is that our prayer for the nations? And if you're not ready and eagerly anticipating the coming of Christ and the establishing of the new heavens and the new earth, talk with me after the service this morning. And I'll be more than happy to take you through how to become a Christian. But if you don't want to talk with me, read it yourself and ask the Lord to work that in your heart, so that you enjoy the call of God week by week by week. Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Shalom. That we may pray one for another. God's benediction on each other. God's prosperity on each other in the community. God's faithfulness on every family here and every single here. And God's peace on the nation, the nations of the world. A prayer for blessedness. We ought to be praying for the benediction of the Lord to be enjoyed by each other, so that together we may witness goodness in the city and faithfulness in the family, that there may be peace in the nation. Amen. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for these two little verses, that we may sing together as the people of God. Our prayer, not for ourselves, but for us as the people of God. And not for ourselves here gathered, but for the communities that we represent. Yes, even the nations of the world. Oh, Father, send us forth in your love, that we may love in truth and righteousness, and have opportunity to share of the hope that we enjoy with a world that is so hopeless because it's turned its back on Christ and sought to break His ways as their way to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.